Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Post Acute Point of View podcast, our discussion hub for healthcare technology in the out-of-hospital space. Here, we talk about the latest news and views on trends and innovations that can impact the way post-acute care providers work. We'll also dive into how technology can make a difference in today's changing healthcare landscape for home and facility-based workers and the people they care for. Let's dive in.
Hello and welcome. I'm McKnight's Long-Term Care News Executive Editor, Jim Berkland, and I'm your moderator for Reimagining Long-Term Care, Tech Trends Shaping 2025 and Beyond. We have an outstanding panel featuring two esteemed leaders from the provider side who are navigating these changes firsthand. Now, let's meet our presenters. First, I'd like to introduce Reese Officer, CIO at Trilogy Health Services. Reese has been at the forefront of implementing cutting-edge technologies across Trilogy's campuses and is always looking ahead to what's next. Next, we have Mike Easley, CIO at American Senior Communities. Mike brings a wealth of experience integrating innovative solutions into care settings and has some great insights on how technology is transforming resident care and staff workflows. And finally, it's always a pleasure to share the stage with Bharat Montero, General Manager of Senior Living and Long-Term Care at Matrix Care. Bharat and I have done quite a few of these sessions together, and I always appreciate his ability to complex world of health tech and make it both practical, forward-thinking for our audience. So Bharat, why don't you give us a preview of what we can expect today? What are the key areas you're excited for us to dive into?
Thank you. It's always a great pleasure to be with you and have these conversations. I know we've done a number of these together, but I'm always looking forward to talking with technologists and sharing some thoughts around technology with our industry. And today I'm really excited to have both Reese and Mike with us. They represent the provider community and they're leading in their field in how they can leverage technologies to really drive improvements. In terms of what to expect, we hear a lot of buzzwords around artificial intelligence, wearable technology, virtual care, and so on. And all of those are really important. But what I'm really looking forward to today is going beyond the headlines and going level deeper with frontline operators that are perhaps using these technologies and making it far more actionable in the real world. And so I'm keen on hearing from both Reese and Mike about how they're leveraging some of these things that we talk about on a daily basis, such as AI and so on. And then from our perspective, from Matrix Care and ResMed's perspective, we see a lot of innovation in those same areas of artificial intelligence, ambient sensing, and interoperability. And I'm keen on getting feedback and hearing from Mike and Reese of how these are impacting care delivery on an ongoing basis. I'm looking forward to the discussion today, Jim.
I couldn't agree more. There's really a lot of buzz out there. But what really matters is how it can be applied in the real world, right? We don't want to just talk theories. I'm excited to dive into specifics, as I'm sure all the guys are, and hear from all of you about the innovations that are truly driving change out there in the hallways. And with that in mind, let's get started with you, Reese. I'd love to hear from you. There's been so much talk about emerging technologies, but from your perspective, what trends are truly making an impact at Trilogy Health Services? And what are you focusing on as you look forward to 2025? And how are these technologies shaping the future of your organization?
Sure, Jim. Thank you. And thank you, Bharat, for the introduction. Just to set some context about Trilogy, our 17,000 employees at Trilogy Health Services serve over 12,000 residents across our 130 campuses. We have 130 campus footprint spanning five states in the Midwest. And our services span the continuum of care. We have a horizontal lines that to supplement the business, including a pharmacy, therapy, and lab. And these lines, they serve residents inside and outside of Trilogy, our Trilogy footprint. So we're nationwide on those ancillary services. It nearly doubles the total lives and campuses that we serve. Our noble purpose is to make lives better for residents and employees. On the technology front, and I'm laughing at what Bharat said earlier, thinking I'm going to go with ambient technologies and AI and sensors. That's exactly what we're doing. But we're actually focused on two different fronts. One is really foundational enhancements. And the second is leaning into the emerging technologies, those plays that will elevate resident care and also enable us to enhance operational efficiency. So let me start with the foundational level. So on the foundational side, we're upgrading. We're doing things like upgrading our telecommunications infrastructure. Today, we're running on-prem technology. We're looking to upgrade that to unified communications as a service. That may be happening in a lot of care settings across the country. Trying to improve our communications across the organization and then also set the table for downstream insights, ideally leveraging AI and some of the more emerging technologies. Enhancing the resident experience is also a priority. So beyond quality clinical care, three things matter most in long-term care. We all know this. It's food, TV, and bingo. And happy hour likely runs a close fourth behind. So we're improving the television content delivery. We're doing some work around expanding service levels and optimizing the quality of our culinary services and life enrichment activities, which we highly value inside of Trilogy. And then in parallel, we're strengthening our infrastructure and connectivity to support emerging resident and campus needs. The bandwidth consumption, the demands are really increasing, and we're working to diversify services to support the levels expected. And let me give you one example. In one of our Indiana campuses, we support a resident who does high-frequency day trading, and we've allocated dedicated bandwidth for him to support his aspirations. We're working to ensure personalized services for those residents and the experiences that they're more and more desiring. And then every other technology organization continuing to bolster cybersecurity posture and customer support models, ultimately to protect the data and ensure more reliable service. Now, on the emerging technology side, I would say we're a little early stage. Some exciting things, I would say, in a couple of campuses, we're utilizing sensors embedded in incontinence briefs to proactively manage incontinence care. We've successfully piloted a wound management solution that has improved both operations and outcomes. We're looking to scale that into all of our health centers. We're also exploring in-room sensors that monitor movements more to optimize bed checks and urgent resident needs. Ideally, one of the things I didn't realize until I got into the long-term space was that we were nightly doing bed checks to see how our residents were doing and disrupting their sleep. And so I'm really looking forward to leaning into these technologies to improve sleep by minimizing those unnecessary disruptions and also optimizing our care team's time. We're also investing in some technologies to strengthen family communications. Really important. Moms in a campus, eldest daughter and family want to stay connected to their loved ones. We're using augmented technologies around our core EHR platform to support that communication and keep the loved ones aware of how mom's doing. On the more advanced side, we're leaning into some robotic process automation and workflow orchestration to streamline workflows. Everyone is focused on getting employees away from the mundane tasks. We have a lot of human factories that we're trying to unwind and get them focused on more meaningful tasks, ideally that impact direct care. And then some things that we'll likely talk about and other questions is really leaning into AI to detect anomalies like falls or rehospitalizations, other things that all healthcare providers want to avoid. And then the last thing I would say is in 2025, really excited about some of the interoperability capabilities that are on the horizon and just enabling us to give more efficient, proactive care through those technologies, ultimately to enhance the quality of not only our residents, but our employees' lives. I guess in summary, it's really focusing on the fundamentals and emerging technologies and looking for that two-pronged play really to position us to make lives better for our residents and employees.
That's great. And it just goes to show you have to get beyond the holy trinity of Wheel of Fortune, Family Feud, and Jeopardy. Although, as you pointed out, those are pretty important on the TV scene, right? Yeah. Mike, let's move on to you. How about you? Are you seeing similar trends in the American senior communities? Or are there some different areas maybe that you're gaining a little more traction with as you plan for the future?
We're seeing similar trends. So a lot of it, our foundational side is fairly well taken care of now, and we're moving into the emerging side. Just a little bit about ASC. We have about 11,000 employees caring for a little less than 9,000 residents on a daily basis across about 107 sites of service all in Indiana. So we're the largest provider in the state of Indiana. And then in the order of magnitude, happy hour would be number one on my list when I get to the senior care area, just so that we level set there. So all the buzzwords are out there, AI, RPA, data analytics, integration, security, all of those things are extremely important. As we start to look into RPA and the AI side, a lot of it's around driving efficiencies and providing a return on investment. So improving our admission processes, customer satisfaction and communications, we're really heavily invested in that right now. Improving reimbursement. So we've got a lot of processes and AI looking at our reimbursement and our coding to maximize reimbursement. Improving transitions of care. So are we getting documentation from hospitals? Are we bringing that documentation in? Are we capturing everything that we need to? And working with our vendors to make that happen. And then for the future, we are definitely looking at sensors and rooms. I've been a part of that in the past. We had 800 smart beds, if you will, with mixed results. And I think that's where we are in the state of AI. And some of these things is that, hey, there's results to be had out there. How do we quantify it? How do we bring an ROI to bear on it? How do we prove it out that it's going to work? And how do we maximize our investments? Because we all have a finite amount of money out there. So that's where we're heavily invested and focused on at the moment.
Outstanding. I couldn't agree more with those points that you're raising is really what we have focused on. Bharat, from the technology partner side, what are the trends you're seeing from a broader perspective around the country? How do they align with what you're hearing from Reese and Mike here? And how are you evolving to their evolving needs?
Yeah, thanks, Jim. And I was smiling as I was listening to Reese and Mike, because it's good to know that from a technologist perspective, we're investing in and focusing on the same things that our customers are. So at least check that box. But I think very similar, to be honest. I think I'd really like what Reese talked about, just focusing on the foundation first, making sure you upgrade the technologies, upgrade the infrastructure. From a ResMed perspective, apart from robotic process automation, artificial intelligence, ambient sensing, all of those are really a big part of our roadmap in the future. But it's also about including the family member in all of this, right? Traditionally, I believe that organizations might have focused on starting with the caregiver and then the caregiver and the resident. And the care team is consisted of other clinicians that all come together. But more and more, with the diaspora of the United States changing, the involvement of families is playing a really large role, especially in several Asian and Latin American countries. And from a technologist perspective, whether it's the EHR, whether it's the mobile tech, we are keeping that front and center and saying the care delivery process of tomorrow is going to be different. The caregiver of tomorrow is probably right now in high school. Right? And what are their traits like? The caregivers of tomorrow is going to be not just the CNA or the nurse or the doctor, it's going to involve close loved ones and relatives who need engagement, who are probably not trained or need assistance. So just making sure the technology can accommodate multiple stakeholders is really going to be important, I think, in future. And that's what we're investing. So
that's fascinating, because that made me think about how Wayne Gretzky, maybe the greatest hockey player ever, he said, they wondered how great he was or why. He said, I don't go to where the puck is. I go to where I think it's going to be or where it's planned to be. And that's what I'm hearing from you, Bharat. You've got a plan on that future. So let's go back to another thing you mentioned earlier. You were talking about patient rooms and ambient sensors. Mm-hmm. From your perspective, how are these technologies going to work together to enhance care environments? And what are some of the challenges you've seen during implementation?
Yeah, so I'll answer that in two ways, Jim. The first one is, let's just take a step back. Our homes today are more and more getting covered by a variety of different sensors. I'm afraid to use the S word or the A word, and suddenly we are all going to hear our watches, phones, and things in our house kind of perk up, right? But that's a reality. Now, along with that comes a lot of different abilities. I was involved in a demo just very recently. An organization has developed a pad of sorts, just leave by the bedside. And it can hear your breathing sound through the night, and it can diagnose you for multiple respiratory conditions, including sleep apnea, including onset of asthma, and so on. So ambient sensing, whether we like it or not, is already here and plays a big part in our daily lives. Now, a couple of things. A, how do you connect the signals across all of those ambient sensors? Whether one particular company develops something for respiratory sound, while the other one develops something for falls, and a third one develops something else for incontinence, the real power is being able to connect those different signals and develop some sort of a insight on that resident, right? And I think that's where the EHR comes in, because the EHR is the gospel of all the medical records, the truth of all records. And so the ability to connect these different signals, overlay that with progress notes, with what the caregiver is saying, and then develop insights is going to be important. Now, once you do that, to answer your second question, what do you see as some of the challenges? I really see cost as a challenge. We all know that the senior living or the out-of-hospital industry has a lot of challenges around reimbursement. Cost is an issue. And so how do you bring innovative technologies that can truly help transform how care is delivered and yet do it in a cost-sensitive manner and fashion? And so I believe that this requires new financial models, new business models like hardware as a service. We're all familiar with software as a service. Hardware as a service or TaaS, technology as a service, is an option. And then you combine that with change management. I can't understate how important the concept of making sure these technologies are piloted, tried out, a great kind of KPIs are established, and then how we incorporate that into the existing workflows. We're all human beings, we're creatures of habit. And when something new is introduced, we get a little uncomfortable. And so change management is going to be super important. And I see that as an ongoing challenge as more of these technologies come in.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Mike, what's been your experience with the technology in your communities? Any noticeable benefits you're seeing in terms of resident care or staff efficiency?
We're very early stage in many of these. I would say we haven't seen a ton of discernible benefits. I would say a couple of things that Bharat really touched on are extremely important. Change management, I can't, say enough about that, and communications as to why we're doing these things. And we touch on that in a few questions now, but in communication to every stakeholder that's involved, we are seeing and giving the process time. I think a lot of times we quote unquote pilot stuff, we throw it in a building and we build it and expect that they're going to come. And the truth of the matter is, it takes a lot of care and feeding and a real project plan to trial these things. And the company that you partnered with isn't going to be the one driving the trial. You have to drive it internally. You have to have stakeholders that champion it and to really drive that process through. So I would say as far as staff efficiencies, we're seeing some of that through some of the robotic processes we're putting into place and other things. On the patient care side, it's coming. It's coming like a freight train. We know it, but we haven't seen quite the benefit of that yet. So that's really, where we are today.
Fantastic. Reese, have you integrated any similar technologies at Trilogy?
Yeah, I think it's similar. It's similar probably to Mike. And I mentioned a few of these earlier. We're today actively piloting or rolling out sensors embedded in comments briefs. We see where when you talk about Gretzky and where the puck is going, we see that as something that could be really compelling, to their comfort and help us avoid some bad outcomes, of staying in a wet or stained briefs. So we're excited about that potential. We've had fits and starts with that over the last 2 years, I would say, and getting something done. We've now, identified a partner. We're working on it, but a lot of the architecture, even of those solutions, it's still early for them too. So we're having to do a lot to support that kind of pilot. I would say we're looking at occupancy and movement sensors. We've talked about the idea of understanding where people are throughout the day, especially our employees, in terms of how do we identify when there's friction in the workflow and how they're moving and navigating where the demand's coming from in order to inform potential improvements. But we haven't really done anything there. At one point, we did have, Bharat's talking about the S word. We had the A word in echoes and things like that in rooms. And ultimately, I think from a resident engagement and other benefits, they were excited about that. But we had some issues on the HIPAA side with some of the conversations that were happening and having those kind of things that are always on when other things are happening in the room beyond just the residents. Yeah, I would say it's early stage. We're still looking forward to exploring these as they advance. I think the cost side is important. And it seems like you engage with the vendor and it's $500 per campus per month is a going rate. And that's that's difficult to pallet sometimes, or these unit costs are a little bit higher than what we can return. And so looking to find a shared value creation is probably a good way forward there as well.
Okay, great. Reef, let's segue into artificial intelligence. There's no doubt it's becoming more embedded in long-term care, but it's used in different ways depending on the organization. How is AI being integrated at Trilogy? And what do you think maybe are some of the most exciting opportunities for it in the future?
Yeah, and it's similar to Mike. I felt like he was reading my mind. We're very early stages. We're exploring how it can best serve our needs. We just started a pilot with Copilot internally. How can we enhance the productivity? I love what, you know, a solution like Copilot can do on Teams meetings and just summarizing the meetings and the fact that it's able to synthesize what's actually going on and put out really concise meeting notes and next actions and those kind of things. That's been tremendously helpful. So watching the emergence of those technologies and starting to pilot them with the right audience and then scaling it, if it's successful, beyond. But there again, $30 per employee per month is pretty rich, and you got to really get the benefit to justify it. I would say the most exciting thing I see using AI is enhancing interoperability. If we can get that interoperability figured out between the systems, I really feel like AI could improve and speed up the patient referral and admission process. I'm copying what Mike said, but it's for us as well. Those transitions in care are really sensitive times for patients. And if we can reduce the friction in those areas, we can make those transitions smoother. And it's a big win, not only for our residents, but also reducing a lot of admin burden that they have today on our employees. So really excited about the promise of that.
Sure, absolutely. You know, and if you and Mike are pointing these things out, this isn't just theory. We're hearing it firsthand, and hopefully the viewers are identifying, saying, that's me too, maybe, or no, we do it a little differently. So Bharat, how's Matrix Care leveraging AI to support providers like Trilogy and C and others? And let's look again to the future. What opportunities are you most excited about? And let's get to it. How is AI going to evolve in long-term care, do you think?
Yeah, Jim, ResMed has really deep bench strength in artificial intelligence and data science. And we've been in that space for a very long time. As a matter of fact, some of the first AI products that came out in senior living, we brought out about 2.5 years ago. We have the ability to stratify residents based on their risk of falling. And then that many of our customers who use that really have seen tremendous benefits and have gone on record of saying they've avoided 3,000 falls, 4,000 falls, and so on. Over the last about 2.5 years, we've started adding more and more, I'll just use the phrase, AI products or modules as we go forward so we can add more. I think one of the things we realized about 2.5 years in is, and I think I heard Reese mention this earlier, is how do you go back to the foundation? How do you go back to basics? And care delivery, care documentation, creating the MDS, having a medical reconciliation available online and offline, those are some of the foundational things that are required. So we're making a huge pivot from focusing on AI-based modules and products to how do you leverage AI to really strengthen and create a robust, intelligent foundation. And that's our big pivot as we go forward. Now, I think in terms of what we see in the industry, it's going to be a variety of things. Every single day, I come across at least a couple of different startups that are talking about very point-based solutions. There's a startup that says, hey, we can document care. Reese, you talked about Microsoft Copilot. There's a lot of organizations out there that says, hey, we can do this for healthcare because we've created a HIPAA layer on it. We've created the buzzwords. We have a large language model and so on. And so there's a lot of point solutions being developed. I haven't yet seen organizations that are taking a more holistic view of end-to-end workflows and how to transform them from beginning to end using artificial intelligence, using robotic process automation. And so that's really what we're embarking on, strengthening the foundation, going back to basics and reinventing the basics, if you will, through intelligence, through automation, and leading with kind of an AI-first mindset, as opposed to more and more AI-based products or modules.
Sure. Mike, what's the AI story with you guys? How are you looking at things?
So I think similar how everyone else is looking at it. Definitely from a foundational standpoint, we've got a very robust data warehouse. We pull data in from multiple data sources in order to analyze it and throw insights on top of it through Fabric and Power BI. What I would say right now, if you were to look at the hype scale out there, we're in, from an AI perspective, we're in that trough of disillusionment, right? There's all this hype, a lot of money's been invested. Now we're coming down on the backside of it, which is a great thing. Out of the trough of disillusionment comes real solutions. And that's what we're focused on right now, is bringing real AI solutions, not pie in the sky, not false promises. How do we really transition care throughout our continuum, from all the way out to home health, through skilled nursing, to hospice, and through that whole continuum? Where I see AI having huge benefits for us is with our iSNP endeavors, with our managed care partner, driving outcomes, looking at true data, and taking data that may not necessarily correlate the way that we would think from a standard basis, but using data and models to look at different data types to start to correlate that. The other thing is, from a cost perspective, we really need to drive ROI. As we know, the government, and with some of the changes in the labor laws that's come to pass, their idea is not more AI and more efficiency and more efficient care. It's let's throw more people at it, let them trip over each other. So I think we're going to fight the battle from a financial perspective from two different sides, and we have to somehow balance that out and make it worthwhile. So that's how we're focusing on it, is how do we bring to bear artificial intelligence across a ton of data to have real actionable insights as we move forward to provide the best level of care that we possibly can and the best possible outcomes for our residents and family.
Very good. I want to skip through several more topics here before our time. We're nowhere near being up yet, but let's move on to another thing, such as the changing role of caregivers, Bharat. Technology can give a more proactive role in care delivery. So how do you see the role of caregivers evolving with this? These are the people thing, right? And are we looking at a fundamental shift in how care is provided, or do you see technology as more of a support system for caregivers?
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough one, Jim. I think, can I say both?
Yes.
And I think, look, technology is a reality. It's here. It's on our wrists. It's in our homes. That's not going backwards any day soon, right? So that's the reality, number one. Number two, the role of the caregiver is evolving. The persona of the caregiver is changing. And I think the merger of the two is going to create a shift while yet requiring support, right? So if I say that differently, the caregiver is never going to be replaced. It's not possible. It's not the right thing to do. The caregiver will always be there and is required to take care of our loved ones. Can technology assist them when they're tired? Can technology assist them when they're balancing multiple different things? Can we detect maybe a cognitive overload on one clinician or one caregiver so that somebody else can come in to step in and help them? Absolutely, yes. And that is happening today. So I think how care is going to be delivered in the future is going to definitely change. And I do believe that it's a combination of that change plus the tools required to support the giver. I don't know if that's making sense. And I know I don't want to leave this hanging.
No, no, no. There's that one clear-cut thing, I'm sure, with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, I had the opportunity to volunteer at a hackathon last weekend with Georgia Tech. And these are all computer science students everywhere from first year all the way to the master's program. And we had 28 projects focused on patient safety. And I tell you, in what these kids created in 36 hours was it just blew my mind. Right? Everything from sensing devices to avoid objects being left behind during surgery, to detecting the cognitive overload of a staff member so that a provider could say, hey, this person is burning out. Let's apply someone else there to help. So technology is coming. It's coming at a really fast pace. And it is going to reshape healthcare while also supporting our caregivers to do better, do more, and just improve quality.
Okay, great. Now, Reese, I'd love to get your perspective on this. How's Trilogy preparing its workforce so that you have technology alongside personal human side?
Sure. It's a great question. And actually, as Bharat was talking, all I could think about was we got a really fluid workforce across the industry. We're experiencing above 50% employee attrition. And it's a really difficult environment, I would say, on the employee side and for retention, especially as the demand just continues to increase. And I think I go back to our company exists to make lives better for residents and employees, and with a mission to become the best healthcare provider in the Midwest. And so what we know is we know the most important moments, they happen right at the resident's side, and our employees are genuinely committed to enhancing those moments. So I would say when we're adopting technologies that improve care and we approach, I will largely go to like mindset and just like overall the culture, we approach these new initiatives with a very collaborative spirit. And I would say our framing is really, hey, let's think real big. Mike and Bharat both talk about how many technologies are out there. We think big about these technologies or these problems and solutions that could solve for them, but we start really small with pilots and experiments. And then if something shows promise, we'll scale it up quickly. But sure. I think at the end of the day, it's about ensuring the technology complements that human touch and doesn't replace it.
Okay, Mike, the others may have taken some of the air out of the room on that, but how are you guys at ASC approaching this and ensuring caregivers feel empowered and yet not replaced by technology?
Yeah, I think it's all about communication and change management. I'll say something a little controversial is that I think our industry overall is used to change. We change on a dime. We change all the time. Regulations change. So we're in a constant change cycle. So I think it becomes a little bit easier. The other thing is, and the gray hair may give me away, but I've been around this for a long time. At each transition in care, you know, moving from paper to EHR, moving from, you know, manual reports. I mean, who the heck wants to generate Excel reports all day? But, you know, every time that transition happens, someone says, my job's over. What about my job? The reality is your job changes to be better, to be able to focus on the things that you really care about. But our employees aren't computer people. They don't want to be. Nurses don't want to type into computers all day. They want to provide hands-on care. So the more that we can help them, you know, achieve their goals and their love, the better it is for attrition and other things. So I think the idea is to really communicate out. We're not eliminating jobs through this. This is a job enhancement. This is going to give you the information you need to provide better care to have better outcomes. And I think that's the message that we try to deliver to all of this.
Great point. Let's move on to interoperability now. Mike, interoperability, just it's a major challenge. We've talked about it. I don't want us to talk too much in theory again here, but just in a minute or so of your thoughts, how important is it for your new technologies to integrate with existing systems? And how have maybe you approached this? If you can give us the Cliff's Notes version of that, perhaps, because again, this is an involved topic, isn't it?
We're going to go into the programming of our data warehouse. But no, seriously, that's the other thing that gives me gray hair, is we have so many different systems out here that need to be pulled together. So we rely on it in a couple of different ways for the Cliff Notes version. We work with our vendors and our partners to make sure that anything that could be integrated and should be integrated into the EHR is the things that can't be integrated or they're too small to be integrated in with the EHR. We've written our own integration engine. So we put stuff out to various partners and we grab stuff from various partners. Now we do require them to have a way for us to get our data. That's the first question that we ask with every new vendor. How do I get my data? So that we can pull it into the data warehouse and analyze it.
Bharat, from the tech provider standpoint, how are you addressing some of these challenges and how do you ensure new solutions can fit somewhat seamlessly into existing systems and workflows? Because that's what it's really all about.
Yeah, Jim, I've been in healthcare about 20 years in different settings. And for the entire 20 years, we've talked about interoperability, right? And I'm sure Mike can attest to that. I think it's really critical that organizations, us included, are really focused on making sure that data can flow seamlessly in a secure manner and in a controllable manner. And that's really our mission. We've declared that as one of our kind of strategic initiatives for this year. And so this idea of open health is really important. Today, we have products that you can very seamlessly search for a patient record across multiple different healthcare information exchanges and bring the data in. You can parse the data and you can populate the medical record very quickly, saving lots of time and ensuring better safety, especially around medications and orders. That same concept, we're going to expand into our partner ecosystem, right? The ability for Reese or Mike to be able to say, hey, we have these partners. I want this data connected. And through an open health, click of an easy button perspective, again, with the right security, with the right controllable measures, being able to just populate that data. That is doable. And that's really what we are focused on, creating an open health ecosystem that allows for fluidity of data in a controllable and secure manner where it's needed and when it's needed. And then apply artificial intelligence on top of it. And now data is not just data. It's actually insights that can help you make decisions at the bedside.
Very good. Let's look a little bit forward. Now we've got a couple points I want to get through on this. So in preparing for future disruptions, that's one given, right? Change is a constant. Let's call it disruption. Reese, as technologies continue to evolve, and they will, there are bound to be disruptions, but new opportunities too. How are you preparing with the folks at Trilogy to adapt to such changes? And what strategies do you have in place to stay flexible? And a lot of this, no doubt, is going to have to be leadership's views and approaches to innovation, I'm imagining.
Yeah, definitely. Leadership is going to set the tone for this stuff. And at Trilogy, I would say we're very big on mindset. And this may be a little cliche, but we think about the gratitude mindset and abundance mindset, being curious. They're all key for us. And so we're doing a couple things on that front, just really seeding that and building on top of a great culture of care that we already have. And the other thing we do is we encourage our technology team, and I'm sure we're other technologists in the audience and on the panel are seeing this too, but we encourage our technology team to change their framing in terms of what their role is and changing more to be a strategic partner focused on value creation rather than just an order taker, which is potentially historically the role. We work together in cross-functional teams to understand our resident and employee journeys, the obstacles they face, and then we collaborate together to find the best solutions. And it's not just inside the technology team, it's across the organization. Really proud and grateful to be part of an environment that supports that. The last thing I'll say is we have this mantra that is me underpins we. Me underpins the we. And so we believe that our individual growth and commitments are essential. And we know that when each of us individually strives to improve, it makes the whole organization stronger and a lot better equipped to adapt to whatever comes our way.
Okay, that's interesting there. Me likes that line of thought, I can tell you. That's
I'll put out a t-shirt and send it your way.
Race to the trademark office there, or whatever, see who gets that. No, I like that. So, Mike, what steps are you taking at ASC to ensure your organization's ready for whatever the future holds?
Yeah, I think it's very similar to what Reese and probably most organizations are doing out there, is being open to the idea of change. I think leadership sets the tone, but the people that work under leadership make it happen. So we don't try to do top-down driven technology changes or change management from that perspective. We rely a lot on the experts at each level to interface with the vendors, to drive change at the vendor level, to embrace change. I can look at technology and be like, I don't know about that, to quote Saturday Night Live, but definitely someone, a clinician, would look at it and say, oh my gosh, that is a game changer. So it's up to me to listen to them as a leader and help drive that change and make it a safe spot. So if it doesn't necessarily hit all the goals, how do we transition it? How do we work with it? How do we make it successful? I think that's one of the things that we've really been good about at ASC and have embraced that all-encompassing change management culture where anyone can raise their hand and say, hey, I find a better way of making this work. And I know Bharat and the Matrix Care team, a lot of our team interfaces directly with their group, with their development, with their product managers to say, hey, this works better for us this way. And it turns out a lot of times it's good for what's good for the goose is good for the gander, right? So that's how we've been approaching it from the ASC side. It's very decentralized. with some controls around it, right? We've got to keep it within the boundary. Sure, you know, we don't have shadow IT changing stuff that we're not aware of. But again, providing that safe space for everyone to weigh in and be able to work with the vendors and their expertise.
That's some really good, pointed observations, I think, because again, we've said it, you can't just talk in theory on that. Now, Bharat, I'm going to turn to you and I have to caution you now. Don't bring about Nike's strategy. I can imagine what you say is, well, just do it, right? That's how you prepare for the future, you know, whatever. But so whether it's Reese or Mike or other providers, obviously, who are tuning in, how can the marketplace, how can the creators out there support them in staying adaptable to ongoing tech challenges?
Yeah, no, this is one of the favorite parts of some of the conversations I have. I would say it's five things. Number one, first of all, be open, right? And I think Mike said that. Be open, be naturally curious. Different industries have solved similar problems, albeit in different ways. But there is a possibility to translate that back into healthcare. So be open and be naturally curious. Number two, invest. I know that it's a tough thing to carve out special money for these projects, but we've got to find the budget to invest. And be ROI driven. Challenge the technology partner for different business models, different financial models, whether it's risk share or whatever else it is. So invest through different models and be ROI driven. Number three, trust but verify. And the reason I say this is in my kind of role, as I talk to my customers and other providers across the country, so many times I come across organizations that are saying, oh, we have this one company out of so-and-so or this group of people that have developed a solution. And when we reach out to them, they've just developed a prototype. They've just developed something so early on. And for whatever reason, the provider believes in that idea. And now the entire ecosystem has to come together to support this one startup. I'm not saying startups are bad at all. Of course, we need more of them. But I would ask questions like, where have you done this before? How many customers do you have? What do the failures look like? What do the successes look like? And build a model out of that. Number four, be involved. We run a lot of betas with customers across the board. I know, Reese, you and your team are helping us beta our mobile solution. I know, Mike, you're looking at it right now. We have customers when you have a beta solution, and at each of those meetings, you have 10, 12 people show up from across various functions. And you have those customers where one person shows up and half the time they miss the meetings. So I call it the calendar test. As leaders, open your calendars right now. And if you are saying AI is important or interoperability is important or whatever is important, look at your calendar and see how much time in your calendar this week have you spent on those things that you call important. And if they don't exist, then you got to look in the mirror and say, how involved are we as a leadership team on this initiative that we think is important? And then the last one, I cannot understate the requirements around change management. Not everybody is a technologist. Not everybody is comfortable. Lots of people love routines. A lot of people have misconceptions and are worried about jobs or what things will happen. Every opinion matters. Explain the why behind why we're doing this initiative, why we do this technology, and help people across the board adopt this new technology. Sometimes it might require new skills training. Sometimes it might require moving into different roles. But bringing these five things together, be open, invest with an ROI mindset, trust but verify, be involved, take the calendar test, and focus on change management and adoption, I think are the five things that are really important. And I would ask all of the folks in the senior living industry to use that as a framework to prepare for the future and the emerging technologies that are coming.
Outstanding. This has been a great session so far, but now I want to get, as we start to wrap up, I want to give you each chance to talk more about 2025 and beyond. And I'm going to challenge you, if you had to pick one tech trend that you believe might have the most significant impact on long-term care in the coming years, what would it be and why? Again, we've got a little time to talk about it. Obviously, we can do another webinar in each one of these, but I'm really curious. Reese, I want to start with you. What do you see as the biggest game changer on the horizon?
So in 2025, I think I'd probably parrot what Bharat said earlier, just it's really the fusion of interoperability and AI. I think there's so much, and Mike was talking about it as well. And there's so much promise in that on targeting specific use cases. The more I sit here and listen to all this conversation and some of the intersections that we're having with Mike, I'm thinking about a session that we're hosting next month with John Baker from the Marquee Companies. He's on the West Coast and coming to town just to collaborate and open up. What are we doing? What are they doing? Where are we winning? Where are they winning? What are some things that maybe we could just make visible and share? And I think we're missing that. And if we're really hitting, if we're at this inflection point in the industry where we're going to be in a big pickle with the amount of people who are going to be able to care for our senior population, then we're going to have to think about things differently. And maybe the biggest game changer is just opening up and making things accessible and going from a cathedral to a bazaar kind of model. And maybe the stop working in silos is more like holistically across the industry. And how can we help lift everyone up and so that we can provide care to those that need it versus, you know, just those that we're serving on our own campuses. So that's what I would say.
Okay. Bharat, we're going to go to you with your thoughts.
I would say, for me, the big thing that I'm looking forward to and I see coming is what I call the intelligent resident room. And I think that's my way of kind of summarizing everything from the proliferation of ambient sensing technologies, the need to connect these different signals so that they can be incorporated in the right way, and overlaying artificial intelligence so that all the information and the data that is flowing through can actually be worked on and actionable and can benefit outcomes. So for me, the one big phrase or one big tech that we're investing in that I see coming is this intelligent resident room. And I guess I can't wait for the future.
Okay, very good. Mike, what do you see as the tech trend for the future?
So for me, but I really like reset, and I understand I've been blown cold for some stuff with reset, so that's perfect. But I think AI is going to continue to shape the way that we do business. It's in a little bit of a lull right now, but as we move forward, I really see the top tech trend that continues to emerge is how we use data and AI to improve our outcomes, to improve our ROI, to improve reimbursement. I think those are the things that are going to be game changers going into 2025 and beyond.
All righty. That definitely is a train that none of us in just about any sector, any industry can avoid, right? It's going to be how we handle it, I think. Boy, I just have to tell everybody tuning in, I hope you've enjoyed the session as much as I have. We want to give our special thanks to Mike Easley, Reese Officer, and Bharat Montero for some outstanding insight today.
That concludes the latest episode of the Post Acute Point of View podcast. We have a lot of guests and topics coming up that you won't want to miss, so be sure to subscribe. To learn more about Matrix Care and our solutions and services, visit matrixcare.com. You can also follow us on LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook. Thank you for listening. Be well, and we'll see you next time.